This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want to talk to you tonight about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts, chapter number 2 and verse number 36. The Apostle Peter has stood up. And I want you to understand where we're at. The Holy Spirit has fallen. The apostles have gone out of the upper room, walked a half mile, and have gone to the southern steps of the temple. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning in my class. And Peter stands up on the southern steps exactly where his Lord stood. And I mean full of the cussing preacher, the one that had just denied the Lord 53 days before that. Had denied the Lord even existed. God had forgiven him and filled him with the Holy Spirit of God. And don't you ever count yourself out because you have messed up on God. There is still sufficient blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stains. And Simon Peter, the old backslidden preacher full of the Holy Ghost now, he stands up, and I mean he plants both of his sandals on the ground, and he says, "Ye men of Israel." And he lights into the greatest sermon that has been preached in the church age, and 3,000 people are born into the family of God because of this one message. The whole crux of the message that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost is summed up in verse number 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He says, you need to know something, brothers. He said, "You have seen the Lord of glory walk before your face. You have heard him speak. You have seen him do his miracles. He was the Lord God of the Old Testament." He said, and just in case you are wondering, just want you to know where you stand with God, you crucified him. He said, just want you to know that the Lord of all eternity walked among you, and you nailed him to a cross. Can you imagine that kind of accusation being leveled at your feet? When somebody said, God has just done a thing like that has never been. By the way, you denied it. By the way, you destroyed it. By the way, you put it on a cross. And those people, their eyes flew open as the Holy Spirit enlightened their hearts. And this is what he said. He said, the crux of the whole Old Testament is this, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. He says it, Paul says it in the book of Philippians chapter number 2, that there is coming a day when all of mankind, every creature, every male, every female, every saved, every unsaved, will bow in the presence of God Almighty at the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will not confess him as King. They will not confess him as Savior. They will confess him as Lord. Therefore, when Peter says that word, Lord, say that word, Lord, that is the New Testament word, Lord. It is the same word that would be used in the Old Testament whenever you would see the word in the Hebrew, Adonai. A-D-O-N-A-I. N-A-N-A-I, Adonai. And the Adonai of the Old Testament is the what Peter says is Jesus of the New Testament. Adonai was the same Lord that scooped out nothing, heaped up nothing with a pile of nothing, and created everything. That was Adonai. Adonai was the one that sat down with Brother Abraham with his two strangers and said, I want you to know that about this time next year, you will have a baby with your wife, Sarah. Adonai was the one that Brother Moses was in the cleft of the rock, and Adonai walked by and he saw the hinder parts. Adonai was the one that Brother Elijah found on the backside of the desert as he said, God, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot go anymore. I cannot preach anymore. And the Bible says a fire came and an earthquake came and a wind came, but the Lord was not in any of those. But then when a still small voice came, that is when the Lord let him know who was God. It was Adonai that Jeremiah threw his hands up and he said, I'm done preaching. I'm done prophesying. I'm done telling people about you. And then he said, but Lord, your word is in me like a fire shut up in my bones. And when Peter stands up to this Jewish audience and he says, I want you to know that God hath made Jesus Christ Lord, he was declaring that the Adonai of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ, the Lord of the New Testament. Now that presented a big problem in the mind of a Jew. Here's why. Because Peter has either done one of two things by declaring Jesus Christ as Lord. He's either, number one, committed the greatest blasphemy that was able to be committed, or number two, he has brought about the greatest judgment upon that people because they have just crucified Adonai. They have just crucified the one that Moses saw his hinder parts. They've just crucified the one that Abraham sat down and supped with. They've just crucified the one that brought Jeremiah out of the pit. You can imagine, they said, all right, we've got to figure out, has this man committed blasphemy? Or have we committed blasphemy? When a man stands up in 2019, he's doing the same thing. When I stand before you and declare unto you that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he is the Adonai of the Old Testament, that he is the Lord of glory of the New Testament, you've got to understand I'm doing one of two things. A, I am either committing the greatest blasphemy that can be committed, because I am saying that this man that claimed to be God is God when he really wasn't God, or B, I am telling you that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the virgin-born babe in the manger, the one that grew up 30 years pure and holy, the one that walked out in the wilderness with the Spirit of God, the one that looked Satan in the eyeballs and said, Satan, get thee behind me. I'm telling you that Savior, if I'm saying that he is Lord, then you and I, by declaring that, we are bringing about the greatest condemnation of judgment, because you understand that when this world around us, and maybe you here in this auditorium, when you say, no, he's not Lord, you are denying that Adonai of the Old Testament that stepped into human flesh in the form of Jesus Christ in the New Testament is not really who he says he is. Question, how would you like to look at God in the face and he says, I'm God? You look at him and say, no, I don't think you are. Whenever you deny that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are in essence doing the very same thing. Brothers and sisters, he is Lord. Brothers and sisters, let me help you with something. Three questions I'll answer tonight by the help of the Holy Spirit. The first question that I want to answer is this. Who says that Jesus is the Lord? Who is the one that declares that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory? Who is it that says that Jesus Christ is the one, the Adonai of the Old Testament, that he is the Lord Messiah of the New Testament? Who says that? Well, Tyler, what if you say that? I say that, but I say something else. You say this and I say that. Here's what you've got to understand. It doesn't matter what you and I say. It only matters what God says. And it is not Tyler Curtis Galdon that declares first and foremost that Jesus Christ is Lord. All that Tyler Curtis is doing is picking up a black back Bible and saying, I'm just repeating what God has already said. Let me remind you, if I can, and I may get caught up in the Holy Ghost right here for just a second, let me remind you about who has seen the Lord and who declared that Jesus is Lord. Matthew chapter 3 verse 3, John the Baptist declared that he is the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory. The three lepers declare that he was Lord in Matthew 8:2. The disciples declared that he was Lord in Matthew 8:25. The centurion declared that he was Lord in Matthew 8:6. The blind man declared that he was Lord in Matthew 9:28. Jesus himself said, I am Lord of the Sabbath in Matthew 12:8. Peter said that he was Lord as he picked him up out of the water having fallen in. He said that he was Lord in Matthew 14:28. The woman of Canaan said to him, Lord, would you just give me crumbs from the dog's mouth? In the book in Matthew 20 verse 31. It was the multitudes in Matthew chapter 21 verse 9 that would declare he was Lord. David declared that he was Lord in the book of Psalms, repeated in Matthew 22 verse 43. The angel of God at the empty tomb. This is what he said in Matthew 28 verse number 6. He said, why seek ye the living here among the dead? Come see the place that the Lord did lay. It was the angel that declared that. Mark 16:19. John Mark declared that he was Lord. Luke 10:40. It was Martha declared that he was Lord when she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Zacchaeus climbs up into a sycamore tree, and the Lord he wanted to see. But as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm a going to your house today. Oh, short Zacchaeus climbs down that tree. He gets on his face before his feet and he declares him with one word. He says, Lord, I am not worthy that you would come into my house. Brothers, a thief on the cross. Do you remember that thief as he said, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And good God in heaven, the Lord said this. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was the woman caught in the very act of adultery that declared that he was Lord when she said, when Jesus asked her, where are thine accusers? And she said, Lord, they are not here. It was John the Beloved in John chapter 4 verse 1 that declared he was Lord. It was Mary the sister of Lazarus that declared he was Lord in John 11:32. Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20 verse number 18, as she comes to the empty tomb, Brother Bob, as she stands at the empty tomb and she thinks the gardeners took his body, she looks at him in the eyeballs and she said, sir, would you tell me what you've done with his body? And she changes his tone in two words. Here's what he says to her. He says, Mary, and with two words, with two calls of her name, she realizes, I've heard that voice before. That's the voice that called me out of my sin. That's the voice that put me in his family. That's the voice that kept me saved. That's the voice that gave me power. That's the voice that heard my prayer. And this is what she said. She changed her tone and she didn't call him the gardener anymore, but she said, Lord Adonai. It was Mary Magdalene. Do you remember Brother Thomas in John chapter 20 and verse number 28? They're back in the upper room. Jesus is resurrected and he's what he said. He said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus is alive until I touch his scars and stick my hand in the riven side of the Savior. Here comes Jesus, honey. He steps through that wall, walks right through that wall. As the rest of them bow down, Brother Thomas stands up and says, I don't believe it. Is it it really you? Jesus rolls his garment back and he says, cast your hand into my side. Brother Thomas takes his hand, sticks his hand in the riven side of Jesus Christ. And the one he called Jesus at the beginning of the conversation, after he saw the scars in his side, he bows at his feet and he says, Lord, Lord. That's Brother Thomas. Acts chapter 9, verse number 10, Ananias says he's Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 27, Barnabas says he's Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 29, Paul says he's Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 14, Cornelius said he's Lord. Acts chapter 11, verse number 20, the Grecian said he was Lord. Acts chapter 16, verse number 30, the Philippian jailer said that he is Lord. Acts chapter 18, verse number 8, Crispus said that he was Lord. In James chapter 1, verse number 1, James said he was the servant of the Lord. Jude chapter 1, verse number 8, Jude said he was the brother of Jesus, but he was the servant of the Lord himself. In the book of Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8, you're never going to believe who steps out and declares that Jesus is Lord. As a man that steps out there and John says, who are you? Yet man says, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. And this is what Brother John says. Brother John says, and it was the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the 24 elders declare that he is Lord. In Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15, the seventh angel of the apocalypse declares that he's Lord. And finally, the very best of all, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 16, Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky. He's coming down from heaven. He's on a white stallion. Written on his garment, it says, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's not the best part of the whole story. Coming behind him, there's the hordes of heaven coming behind him. There's a whole bunch of people, and the only identifying mark is this, that they've sung a new song and their garments have been made clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. And this is what they're declaring. They're declaring, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. Who is that? That is the Lord of lords. Who says Jesus is Lord? Why, the Bible does. That's the first question. The second question is this. What does it mean to say that Jesus is Lord? When you and I say the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I declare that Jesus is the Lord of our life, what does that mean? Whenever you use the word Lord in the New Testament, it's the Greek word, I'm going to put it up there, Kim. It's the Greek word kurios. The Greek word is kurios. And whenever in the New Testament, when the word kurios was used, it referred to whom a person or a thing belonged to. It referred to the owner or the dispossessor of something. You know what a dispossessor is? A dispossessor is somebody that says, I'm done with that. How many of you have ever had, we're going to get into something right here. Fellas, how many of you have ever had that old favorite something? Chair, pair of drawers, whatever it was. And one day, gone. Gone. You know, I'd be able to keep up with half of my stuff if my wife didn't move it all the time. You men so henpecked, you wouldn't say amen if I came and sat in your lap. You know I'm telling the truth. But my wife, what she'll do is there'll be stuff in the house. They'll be all tight. And she just moves stuff. Constantly reorganizing, constantly reshuffling, constantly cleaning, just moving. If I wanted my stuff clean, I'd do it myself. There's a reason why I keep my stuff in a pile. Number one, I know where it is. Number two, I know what to expect. There are no hidden surprises. The other day, though, now my wife just moves stuff. She doesn't throw anything away. Just moved junk. All the time, moving junk. The other day, I'd had enough. I had had just pure enough. I called Republic Waste. And I said, I want you to send me the biggest dumpster you can muster up in my driveway. They mustered me up a 20-yard dumpster. Now, I don't know if you know how big that is. That's a lot of junk. And you know what I said? Holly, don't look over there. Hurry, you look up here. I'm preaching right here. Don't look at Erica. And I said to her, they brought it. Erica, babe, if I'm lying, I'm done. I said, there ain't no way we will ever fill this up. Wrong again. I took junk. I mean, we pulled stuff out of the attic. We pulled stuff out of the bedrooms. We pulled stuff out from under the cabinets. We found stuff. We ain't even been married that long. Some of you folks been married 45, 50 years. God have mercy on your children when they go to clean out your house. It is utterly and absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to be downright honest with you. My mom ever goes, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to set it on fire. Get the dog out, give it to my sister, and light her up, honey. I'll call the volunteer fire department, just let them have a heyday. Do whatever y'all want to with it. Burn it down, set it off. Burn it down, I don't care. But I would take that stuff, Bob. I mean, I didn't ask anybody. I went in, I'd go in my closet, I'd just take armfuls. I'd go back to Erica's room, Erica's stuff in Erica's room. We stay in the same room, folks, just quit, be quiet. I mean, I'd go back in the room, and I'd just pick more stuff up. She was gone to camp. I filled up a 20-yard dumpster. 20-yard dumpster. You know why I was able to throw that away? Because it's mine. I'm the Lord of that castle. Y'all are killing my illustration. What it means to be the dispossessor of something means that it's yours and you can do away with it as you please. When you say that Jesus is the Lord, we get so upset whenever the Lord takes somebody out of our life, don't we? We get so upset. Lord, why would you do that? He's either the Lord or he's not. I don't want to die tonight. I want to live to see my children grow. I want to live to see grandchildren. I want to live to see what the Lord does at this church. But if God took me tonight, if I was taken in a car accident, if I choked on a piece of food tonight, you do understand that it is God's prerogative to take me whenever He wants to take me and to take you whenever He wants to take. You know what that means? That means that He's the Lord, and the Lord can give and the Lord can take away whenever and however and whoever He wants to, because He is the Lord. That's what it means to say that Jesus is Lord. But when somebody declares that Jesus is Lord, hear me and hear me well. They are making more of a declaration than you and I believe. Because here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord if that man is not, if that man is saved by the grace of God. You will know that he is saved because he is able to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Watch this. Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the way that a person is saved is they must surrender themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is what that means. There's huge debates on both sides. Here's what that means. Whenever a person is willing to be saved, hear me and hear me well, you don't just get saved because you pray a little sinner's prayer along the way somewhere and repeat after me and you got in. No. There is an aspect of salvation that we call repentance, where you must side with God against yourself and you must say, Lord, I was wrong, you were right. When you declare that, that is the way that you declare, Lord, you are in charge, and I'm doing it your way. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. I want you to watch what the Apostle Paul says. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Watch this phrase. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Here's what that means. What that means is that somebody who is unwilling to repent of their sins is not born again. You say, how do you know who's saved and not saved? That is truly something between God, but God gives us these little glimpses, and here's what he says. He says, you'll know somebody is saved because the Holy Spirit will abide in them, and the Holy Spirit will enable them to say and live that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now watch this. The Lord is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who want to be perfected. How do you know that you're saved? Here's how you know. You are willing to say, Lord, I surrender to you. Bible says it or it doesn't say it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you are unwilling to bow at the feet and the ways of the Lord Jesus, and you still do your own thing, act your own way, do your own way, no matter what you come, look, you can come to church until you grow horns and have a tail, or until you've got a harp and have wings, but that does not mean that you are born again, no more than being in a barn makes you a cow, being at Chick-fil-A makes you a bird. It does not matter where you are, but if you are unwilling to repent and live a life pleasing to the Lord according to the Word of God, the Scripture is clear. You have not the Spirit of God. And Romans 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. People have asked me all the time, they say, how can somebody claim to be saved and live the way they live? That's simple. They're not saved. But they say they are. Doesn't matter. Because if a person has the Holy Spirit empowers that person to bow in repentance at the feet of Jesus. How many of you messed up? Sure we have. We all have. I have, you have. All God's children have. How do you know you've been born again? Are you ready? Conviction. You know you've done wrong, and the Holy Spirit, that inner witness within you, says you must make that right, or we will not be right. That's how you know you've been born again. So when a person says, I bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you know that they have been saved. How many of you have ever, I had a guy talk to me about this the other day. He's dumber than a box of rocks and had no idea what he was talking about. How many of you can remember that in the book of Matthew chapter 7, when it says, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. How many of that has ever thrown you for a loop? Sure it has. Sure it has. There's been so many people, because the Scripture says, Matthew chapter 7, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not done many things in thy name? Have I not cast out devils in thy name? Have I not in thy name done this? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And that makes us so afraid. Remember, what were they claiming? They were saying, Lord, Lord. They were claiming the God of the Old Testament. They were willing to follow rituals and rules, but they were not willing to bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that are going to go to hell believing in God and saying, didn't I do a lot of good stuff? It has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with, are you bowed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Here's another thing it claims. If you say that Jesus is Lord, you are declaring not only your salvation, but your slavehood. In this politically correct culture, it blesses people when you call them a slave. Not. But I want you to notice what Brother Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. He says, for he that is called in the... What does it say? He that is called in the Lord, being a servant. The word servants, the Greek word doulos, it's the word slave. A slave, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants, doulos, slaves. Whenever you say, Lord, I bow to you, you at that moment give up three things. Number one, you give up your opinion. You have no more right to say, I think, I believe, I think, I believe, I think, I believe. You now give it over and you say, Lord, what do you think? What do you believe? What do you think? What do you believe? You're no longer to say, I think I ought to operate my home like this. When you bow to the Lord Jesus, you're now saying, Lord, I want what you want for my family. I want what you want for my marriage. Whenever you say the Lord Jesus Christ, and a church bows to the Lordship of Christ, they no longer have the right to say, we think it ought to be run like this, or Tyler thinks it ought to be run like this, or the pastor thinks it ought to be run. No. We've bowed to the Lordship of Christ as a church, and now we have to say we are slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what He wants. It's what He thinks. It's what He wants it to operate like. Whenever you say, Lord, I bow to you, you give up your opinion. You give up, number two, your ownership. Stuff doesn't belong to you anymore. It's no longer your job. It's the Lord's job that He's given you. It's no longer my money. It's the Lord's money that He's given you. It's no longer your marriage. It's the Lord's marriage that He's given you. How many people are sick and tired of this me, my, I generation that they want what they want when they want it? If they don't like this marriage, they hop town and go to this marriage. And when they get tired of this one, I want this, and so they go to this one. Well, she didn't meet my needs, or he didn't look the way that he used to, or they thought I had a better shot if I did it like this. When you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and you claim Him as Lord at salvation, you no longer own that marriage. You no longer own that situation. You no longer own those children. It's no longer, I think we ought to do this with our kids. No, the Bible says we do this with our kids. How many of you, being a slave, would ever want to have somebody come by you, maybe that didn't own you, and they would look at you and say, I don't like the way you're raising your kids. I don't like the way you're operating your home. You know what we would look at them and say? We'd say, if you don't like it, you ought to buy me, because you didn't buy me, you didn't pay for me, and I'm not owned by you. My owner lives over there, and I'm going over there. Brothers and sisters, when the world comes by us and says, I don't appreciate the way you raise your youngins. I don't appreciate the way you do your marriage. I don't think you ought to do this. You know what you say? I don't really care what you think. You didn't buy me. You didn't pay for me. You didn't redeem my soul. You didn't save my life. You didn't give yourself for me. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me encourage mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and papas and meemaws and memes and nanas and ha-has and you-yous. Why don't you people just go by your names instead of ruining your dignity when your kids come by you? I mean, you're a multi-gazillionaire and you're a lawyer or you're a doctor, and we know you as the prestigious heart surgeon that has gone across the world. But whenever those kids come by, oh, mama doo-doo, come on by. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. There goes your dignity. There goes your fly. There goes your everything. Here's what I'm telling you. It does not matter what anybody thinks about you. It does not matter what anybody thinks about the way you raise your youngin'. significance. You say, my God wants me to homeschool them. Then I'll tell you what you do. You homeschool them. My God wants me to send them to public school. Then you put them in public. You send Christian, then go to Christian school. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. They are not your master. And you don't belong to them. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my church. It's not my Sunday school class. It's not my choir. It's not my congregation. It's not my building. This all belongs to the Lord. The Lord has every right tonight to say, Tyler, you're done. I may not like it. But when the Lord says, and what the Lord says is what has to happen. Because He is the Master. Number three. What is He the Lord of? And I'm done. I promise I'm done. What is He the Lord of? Well, the short answer to that is everything. But I've just picked me out three little areas that I think I want to just hum around in for just a second, because I'm feeling pretty good right now in the bottom of my soul, and I'm hoping it's going to work its way up to the top. Number one, He's the Lord of creation. You know who made the trees green? God did. You know who made the sky blue? The Lord did. You know who made the water twinkle? The Lord did. You know who put the stars in the sky? The Lord did. You know who makes the water crash upon the seashore? The Lord did. You know who makes the Tweety bird fly through the air? The Lord did. You know who makes the dog go bark, bark? The Lord did. You know who makes the cat go when it gets run over by a car? The Lord does. Everything is by the Lord. He created everything. He made everything. He formed everything. He put everything together. You know God is so much God and He's so much Lord that He can look at a frog in the middle of Egypt and say, I want you to get up out of the Nile River and I want you to invade the land of Egypt, but don't go toward the land of Goshen where my people are. Guess what those frogs do? They jump up out of the Nile River. They invade the land of Egypt, but they don't go to the land of Goshen where the people of God are. Why? Because they obey their Lord and their Maker. You know who can bring lice to invade the people? God can. The Lord can. You know who brings locusts from the far country and invades? The Lord can. And then when Moses beseeches the Lord and says, Lord, please put them away, you know who pushes them off? The Lord does. You know the Lord's so much so in control that He can tell a raven, I want you to go get bread and meat off of King Ahab's table, and I want you to take it down to my servant in the wilderness. The Lord can. Do you know who can make a great big fish in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean swim to just the right place right about the time that old fisherman throw an old backslidden preacher by the name of Jonah off the boat, and right about the time he hits the water, a big old whale comes up out of the water, eats him whole, and the Lord says, don't you chew, don't you just swallow that thing whole. The Lord can do that because the Lord is the one that made him. You know who can send a dove out of the other side and come down to the Jordan River and land on the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord can, because He's God. You know who can bring animals from far and near and put them on a boat and put half of them to sleep and tell the rest of them, don't you bark, don't you honk, don't you jump, don't you dance? The Lord can, because He is the Lord of creation. Number two, He's the Lord of salvation. I remind you right now, don't you dare think that it was you that saved you or it was me that saved me. He's the Lord, and He's the Lord of salvation. It was the Lord that called me. It was the Lord that convicted me. It was the Lord that pulled me out of darkness into His marvelous light. It was the Lord that washed my sins away. It was the Lord that redeemed my soul. It was the Lord that washed me in His blood. It was the Lord that shed His blood. It was the Lord that died for my sins. It was the Lord that went down into that grave. It was the Lord of glory that got up out of that grave on that third resurrection morning. It was the Lord that came down to the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church and called me to salvation. It was the Lord that sealed me with the Holy Spirit. It was the Lord that's working on the inside of me. It was the Lord that says, you can't touch him, Satan. He's behind the bloodline. You know how big a Lord he is, Bob? He's so big a Lord Lord, that the devil only goes as far as the Lord lets him go. I'm telling you, he's the God that bought me. He's the God that sought me. He's the God that wrought within me. He's the God that loves me. He's the God that leads me. He's the God that lingers with me. He's the God that helps me. He's the God that holds me. And he's the God that loves me. He's the God that stretches himself out when I have no path. He's the God that makes a way where there is no way. He's the God that makes a way in the wilderness. He is the Lord. He's the Lord that sends rain when there are no clouds and sunshine when there's nothing but clouds. You know why? Because he is the Lord. He's the Lord that pulls nothing out of everything out of nothing, and he shuts up everything and puts it into nothing, because he is the Lord. He's the Lord that tells the blood to course through my veins. He's the Lord that tells the air to go through my body. You know how he can do that? He is the Lord. And let me give you one that'll bless the socks clean off of your feet. You know how big a God he is and how great a Lord he is. One day, honey, death's walking into your room and death is walking into my room. And as death gets ready to wrap its icy fingers around my throat, you know who's going to walk in? The Lord of glory. And he's going to step into my room and he's going to say, stop right there, death. You have no power in this room. You have no authority in this room. You have no flow in this room. You have no say in this room. That one belongs to me. And God's going to look at me and he's going to say, come my child, enter into the joy and the presence of the Lord. And here's what's going to happen. My body's going to lose hold. My spirit's going to rise up through the air. I'm going to fly through the sky. I'm going to dance across the Milky Way. I'm going to tiptoe by the stars. I'm going to head up out of the galaxy. I'm going to find me a ride on the back of an angel. I'm going to stand at the pearly gates. I'm going to look there at Brother Peter or Brother John or Brother Bubba, whoever's keeping the gate, and I'm going to say, let me in, let me in. He's going to say, what gives you claim to get into this gate? And here will be my one claim. I will not say I was a preacher. I will not say I studied a lot. I'm going to say I have one plea, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my plea. He is my anchor. He is my helper. He is my stay. He is my hope. He is my life. He is my grace. He is my mercy. He is the one that helps. He's the one that loves. Oh, because he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ.